AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations, prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Or a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.
R&B money. We up. Take Valentine. We are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
Ooh, and this.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the R&B Money podcast, the authority on all things R&B.
Yes, sir.
When you go to school, you know, and they give you your work, you know, you start off with a pencil.
Okay. Okay.
And then when you're good enough.
When you graduate.
They give you a pen.
A pen. Huh. Some people got the pen.
Some people got the pen.
Yeah.
It ain't a pen.
It's
far from ballpoint.
Yeah.
It's far from felt.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of them pens back in the day. You used to stick it in the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, put it in the ink.
Put it in the ink and then come, and then you write real nice, like you was writing the Declaration of Independence. One of those kind of pens. Expensive pen.
Yeah.
Make some noise for Sean Garrett in the building.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean Garrett, the pen.
The pen.
Yeah.
In the building.
Yeah. 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 Now y'all can get the hell out of my comments and DMs asking me for Sean Garrett.
Yes.
The man is here now.
Yes, he is.
He's here.
Yes,
Listen, I remember us doing R&B live together one night at it used to be Snatch in Hollywood. Snatch upstairs.
Yeah.
And they had a lot that live performance night. And it was me, you, I think Genuine might have been there too. And I watched you perform and give out Louis Vuitton
Louis bags.
Purses.
Yeah.
I had never seen that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, the pen has a lot of money.
The pen has a lot of money, baby.
To just be given away.
A lot of money, baby.
Louis Vuitton bags to a woman who screams the loudest.
Yeah, he don't even know her. He don't know her.
I need my hoe back in, okay? I needed my hoe back in. It wasn't much, but I needed it. You didn't need it. Matter of fact, you had spent more on the purses than probably the gig was paying you.
Well, I did need it. And I got it.
Yeah.
You what's did, up, right? You got it.
What's up, Tay?
What
what's
up, baby?
Up, Jay? What's
Listen,
up, brother?
Listen, man. Listen, brother. My first dog. Of all, this is a fine leather coat.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
man.
You know?
The
you
finest
know,
of leather.
I had to get right for the guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's real R&B. You know, I had to get real R&B Tyson Beckford like you.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh,
is
that you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? You know, my gosh. And shout out to
new, you know, when you get around your real R&B brothers, I'm and for you new R&B guys, I'm talking about real R&B.
Yeah.
Real R&B guys. I had a conversation with one of my youngsters today. He was like, Sean, you know, I see why we not really popping like the real R&B artists. I said, why? He said, man, we singing to girls, man, who don't really care about R&B. I said, no. The problem is, y'all got to get your weight up. Y'all not acting real. Y'all not acting like real, like real R&B. Superstars.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like what are you like, is your bag right? Are you pulling up right?
Mm-hmm.
Like can you hold it down?
Mm-hmm.
Like the real R&B superstars, like they held it, they could hold it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, the rappers just taking over y'all. They just taking over y'all whole area. You know what I'm saying?
It's a certain level of stomp down.
Yeah.
That an R&B artist
gotta do.
Has to have.
Yeah. Stomp down. That's a, I'm a roll with that one.
It's a certain level. It gotta be overt.
In Atlanta, yeah. We say get down. You gotta get down. You know?
They gotta believe.
Yeah.
They gotta believe all of it.
Yeah.
That when y'all hit the mall, it's going up.
That's right.
Just as well as when you hit the bedroom,
it's going up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't be, you know, you run at 142 pounds. It's hard.
You just tell the R&B niggas to do some push-ups?
Hey, gotta, what I'm telling you, I'm trying to tell them, I'm like, I said, look, first of all, young blood, you got to get in the gym.
You got to get in the gym.
Because you can't be skinny and not have a six-pack. If you're gonna be skinny, at least have a six pack.
Something.
But you can't have a six pack and can't throw nothing around.
You gotta be able to throw something around. Yeah, they gotta believe
that's the key. You gotta throw it around.
They gotta believe.
Like you gotta throw her all around.
They don't believe.
And he's like, yo, the girls are just talking to us crazy. Sexy Red is talking to us crazy.
Cause she's with a stomp down there.
Yeah, ain't nobody see. Listen,
R. Kelly started a record like this. Shut up. I don't want to ever hear you say that again.
He did. Yeah.
I don't want to ever hear you say that. I'm not ever leaving you. Shut up. You shut that up.
Yeah, they really don't understand the essence of R&B. That's the problem.
It starts with understanding the essence of a woman.
Okay.
It starts there.
Yeah.
How many, as I'm going to allude to something, I ain't going to give it away. What kind of conversations are you having with women?
Yeah.
That's how you build an R&B singer. What do you know about women?
A woman, yes. Mm-hmm.
I get it. You know a lot about your jeans.
Yeah.
Got
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Got it. You know a lot about Dior. You know a lot about Louis Vuitton. Got it. You know a lot about cars. What do you know about women?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you define R&B.
Yeah.
How well you can relate to women. Because women
I think
are the
we need to do an R&B seminar.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm in.
And give the information. Get them back on track.
I thought
track
you said and give away Louis bags.
That too.
I was like, shit, this is gonna be expensive.
Because
in essence, what the rappers have done is they've taken the stomp down part of it, but they don't necessarily need the finesse no more.
No. Right.
Because they don't have any competition.
You ain't got to get intellectual.
Nothing.
Or you ain't even got to finesse. Yeah.
They don't even have to finesse.
The game.
There's no opposing. There's no other choice.
Yeah. Right.
They ain't got to get creative.
They don't have to get creative.
Nah. And what are we? Creative. That's what we do.
So we got to figure out a way to be competitive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's on the way.
Yeah, let's talk about the pins. Let's talk about where it all started.
Let's go to the pin's inception, man.
Yes.
Let's go to the beginning of the pin when it was, maybe it's never been a pencil. Maybe it's always been a pen. Maybe you just were born with a pen. Where does it start, Sean? Give me 7-8-year-old Sean Garrett. What's going on?
All right. You know, the 7-8-year-old Sean Garrett is pretty much, you know, I got to give all, you know, rest in peace to my mom.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about my mom all the time, you know, but the true essence, going back to the true essence of a woman, I mean, the true essence of Sean Garrett is just my mom, man.
Wow.
Honestly, man. My mother's everything, was everything to me. She instilled in me so many different aspects of being a man, being responsible, how to take care of your kids, how to be strong, how to not let someone take you off your block, how to be a provider, how to be a warrior. So, you know, I think part of, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, I think the essence of what Sean Garrett is all my mom, Rita Elaine, man. You know, I lost my mother early in my life, but I felt like, you know, I lived 2 or 3 lifetimes with her as a child, as a young man. And my dad, you know, shout out to my dad. I love you, Dad. My dad was very instrumental, but my dad was so good at being a team player. I don't know if my dad always knew that he was second. It probably sounds crazy, but he had no problem playing his part as the co-star. Because everybody in the house knew that Mama was the superstar.
Yeah.
But she was willing to literally die for her kids and purpose. And so I think when you grow up in a household like I did, and being so bilateral, like, you know, my life, you know, being from Atlanta, Georgia, you know, Camelton Road, my mom from Perry Homes, my dad's from Philly, my dad's military, my mom was in the military before I was born, then she worked for the government. That transition of what we call real life in America and being able to translate and operate around the world from a global mindset, but being an African-American, all those different innuendos made the pen, right? And it gave me so much diversity. Like, I'm a very diverse person. But at the same time, I'm very true to myself, true to my heritage, true to my culture, true to my essence. So I would probably say I could definitely be a complicated person, right? There's a lot of dynamics to what made me, but I'm very proud of every aspect of it, because, you know, no one knows you know, I didn't ask to be born. You know what I'm saying? I just happened to be born. And I happened to be born with those parents, and I happened to be born with that experience. And I had no choice at 5 years old to decide if I'm going to Germany or not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, no, we're going to Germany. And yeah, I did cry. I did complain. I did.
But
say,
in those days, well, it was what it was.
It was what it was. Yeah. You're doing what.
How long were y'all in Germany?
So I was 20 years old, 19 years old.
Oh,
from
wow.
Five to 20?
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you speak German?
Yeah, ich spreche Deutsch. Sehr gut.
No shit.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Yeah, and so that experience is the reason why some of the time when I came back to America and started to sort of navigate amongst my peers, I seemed a bit intense.
Of course you
was
would.
German.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, the crazy part is I was African-American living in Germany.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So my high school senior class school trip was in Spain.
Just different.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
On mopeds, wilding. Yeah. You know,
so 5 to 20, you went to every school in Germany.
Yeah.
Elementary, middle, and high school.
Yeah, exactly. And I really didn't have an opportunity to. And so when I would come back to America to see my family, it was like I was always like, I got a cousin too, right? My cousin too married, is now married. Y'all know too, Lewis?
I don't.
Okay. We'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
But my cousin too, I just literally met too, probably about 3 or 4 years ago. Right. And he's been my cousin my whole life. Right. He's my mother's oldest sister is, he's my first cousin.
He's your first cousin.
Yeah. So we didn't even know each other. He's in the music business. He does really, really well.
The two?
Yeah, I'll explain.
Not two Clark. No, I know two Clark.
Okay.
Two
Lewis. Yeah. But that's my cousin, and I love him dearly, and he's amazing. He's super smart, and we probably are probably just as talented, right? But he's on the executive side, and I'm on the music side. But my mom had a big family, 13 brothers and sisters. Mm. But the bottom line is that I didn't get a chance to spend a lot of time with my family in America. Mm-hmm. I spent more time outside of America, right? And so the adjustment for me to be able to adapt, like I was able to get into the music game and go at a hyper speed creatively, but to be very honest, on a personal level, there was a disconnect. And I think that's probably sometimes where the disconnect comes with me when it comes to my people, right? And I love my people dearly. Like, I love my people, but I realize there's a slight disconnect. My understanding of what blue looks like and your understanding of what blue is completely different, right? Which also is what makes us great together.
Makes us special.
So yeah. my mindset has always been opposites attract. So when I meet someone that's completely different than me, whether they look like me or they don't look like me, it's attractive to me, right? Because it's like, wow, I've never experienced that. Hey, let's collaborate. And that is the example of why I've collaborated with so many different people and made so many different hit records and so much different type of energy, because that's all I had to go on. And so, and that's the reason why it's not so fair to judge people mm-hmm. from what you don't understand, right? Yeah. It's like, shit, you know, it's like, shit, you black, I'm black. You understand collard greens and fried chicken and, you know, barbecues and, but nah, it's not always
many
like
shades.
Yeah.
It's many shades.
It's many shades of,
black.
Shades
yeah.
of us.
Yeah.
as many shades of us. It's even more shades. We're starting to see how the translation from Africa, you know, from the Nigerians to all of South Africans, all of this intense music. The reason why the music is so good is because it's always been great. It's always been amazing. It's just being able to mesh at this point. It's just amazing, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what my experience was. And it was sort of, it's sort of complicated to explain to people, but that's how my world was, right? And so I always felt like a foreigner to a certain extent, you know what I'm saying? And so, man, I tried my best to do the best I could, man, to mesh and learn and grow. And I didn't have it figured out all the time, you know?
How are you receiving the music in Germany?
Well, in Europe, you know, Americans listen to what they call AFN, which is an armed forces network. Basically, we have one radio station, and it's the biggest pop songs in the world. Mm. Huh. So we don't have
It's just the biggest song. It's not R&B. It's not country. It's not, it's all of it. It's whatever is the biggest.
The biggest.
So all you're hearing is hits.
All I'm hearing is hits.
That's great.
Hmm. Okay.
And that is how I was designed.
They're programming you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Whether that is programming or whether you look at that as a program or you look at that as all you got.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, we're most times creatures of our environment.
Right.
Yes. So
you're not getting the fluff.
Yeah, you're not getting the fluff. I you know what? But I found that to be, a very interesting perspective because, like, I would run into somebody like you, Jay, or you, Tank, who, you guys are still my essence of my core essence, right? Of where I'm from.
Of course.
Right? And what made me, you know, my mom and dad got married at Ebenezer Baptist Church, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's not get it confused, but my mom and dad also met on Fort McPherson, which is the army base that Tyler Perry bought.
Oh.
Is that where his lot is now?
Yes. Yeah.
That's an old army base.
You know what I'm saying?
Army base.
Okay. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So and I'm from Atlanta. Like, I'm a real ATLian too, right? But imagine that, man. Imagine. Now, in my house, my mom was still from Perry Homes. Germany or Australia, you know what I'm saying?
You're going to get that.
You're going to get that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it never really left, but we were living in a household in a completely different country.
Mm-hmm.
So, and every, you know, my mom, and every morning my mother was very, you know, she's very musical, man. Like, you know, like she'll be playing, like in the morning times, we'll be playing Gloria Estefan. I'll be hearing, you know, the AFN station. It's going, you know what I mean? 6:30 in the morning, we get ready for school. It's going. And it's straight AFN, you know what I'm saying? Right Said Fred, Gloria Estefan. Wow. Hey, man, it could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Number one hits, right? Now, when I come home and it gets 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, my mom putting on Patti LaBelle.
Yeah, yeah.
She putting on Patti.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? She playing The Whispers. As a big goes on, you know what I'm saying?
You must play.
I mean,
Whispers.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so you know, it's a very diverse. My upbringing, man, was just so unexplainable, man.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes when people, you know, and then you think about my background, how I was raised, and you know, man, you know, my perspective of being in front of the camera, like, yeah, of course I knew I was amazing at music. I know I was an artist like my whole life. I've been through that. But I found it intriguing coming into my adulthood. Man, I had a superpower. Like, I can do songs for women and men, and I can do songs for anybody. It was a superpower. I was like, I can make Beyonce fly. If she ever came in the room, I would make her go crazy. So that's where you got them songs of Ring the Alarm.
Don't do that. Not yet.
Yeah, we get it.
I felt like I had this thing. Mm-hmm. I had a thing, and I was
When did you write your first song?
I probably was writing my first songs when I was about 7 or 8 years old, for sure. Six.
Just running them off.
And I didn't know how to. Now, I must admit, like, I have one of my gifts is the ability, whenever I hear drums, I can write the melody.
The drums.
Yes.
The
drums,
yeah.
I don't need a chord. I can actually hear melodic notes in my head, in the feelings. Like, I'm a Pisces, so I'm a very emotional feeler. Mm-hmm. So I can feel notes. Mm-hmm. I don't need notes. I can just take drums.
Yeah.
And I can write a complete song over drums.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When your child fights sleep, it can feel like a battle you'll never win. Imagine a bedtime routine you all look forward to, where you cuddle in and let the stress of the day melt away. Welcome to Sleep Tight Stories, a calming weekly podcast that brings bedtime stories, cuddles, and comfort to families worldwide. The stories are quirky, relatable, and spark wonder without overstimulation, so listeners can fall asleep and stay asleep. Each episode is narrated by me, Cheryl McLeod, a second grade teacher, and written by my husband, Clark, an eternal second grader at heart. Tune in tonight and bond over a story before drifting off to sleep. Make bedtime the sweetest part of your day. Sleep tight stories. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I actually wrote yeah over. That was the complete song over that 4-bar loop of.
Up in the club when the homies trying to get a little bit, keep it down and low key, down
heel. I mean, you can actually go pull up the demo. but you know, and you, it's almost like, you know, realizing your true gifts,
mm-hmm.
And not knowing what you're realizing is right. Just, and exactly. I was really good at sports too. Exactly. Like, so like baseball, I was really good at like, baseball and football I was really good at.
Yeah.
So
do you break into, do you have an industry moment in
Germany?
In Germany?
Yeah. So I end up signing my first record deal when I was 14.
Okay, here we go. Now, come on, man. Yeah, what do you mean? How you skip past that?
No. I mean, we never skipped that. Okay. We were so 6 and 7.
So 14 yeah. years old, you get a deal out in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And how is the music business there?
So at this time, I ended up, my manager at this time was one of the most successful African Americans, I would say, in definitely in my city where I grew up.
What city are you from in Germany?
Lived in Nuremberg. Mm-hmm. And so I lived in Nuremberg and Mainz and Wiesbaden and Munich. And at the time, I was singing at these fests. I was singing at these, what they call beer fest.
I was about to say, Oktoberfest. I've heard of that.
Yeah. So I was singing at these.
Little black kids singing at Oktoberfest.
Yes. No,
this is crazy.
No, number two is crazy. I'm like 13 years old and there's this band of GIs, what they call, those are, you know, mm-hmm. you know what GIs are. Mm-hmm. And they're like 22, 23 years old, 24-year-old, 25-year-old band. And they're like, yo, dog, we want you to be the lead singer for and I was singing in a top 40 band.
Yeah.
And I was singing these Oktoberfest.
Oh shit. And
it's going crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I'm thinking I am, you know, man, I'm living my life. Right. And so this guy says to me, you know, hey, I think you're amazingly talented. I think you should let me manage you. So I ended up doing letting my man Jerry manage me. We ended up putting a group together. I ended up signing a record deal when I was 14 with Ariola BMG.
Who?
Ariola BMG. And man, the experience of the record business, you didn't know.
Right.
Because I was a kid. I still didn't.
Yeah.
You know,
and had your parents been in the music business at all, or it was
no,
purely military?
It was purely military. You know, to be very honest, man, if I, you know, that contract that I did, it wasn't the best contract.
I'm sure.
You know, but
you remember how much you got?
Nothing.
Shit.
Little or nothing. I think it was little or nothing.
That's
actually.
A number you don't forget.
Yeah.
It's a number you don't
forget. You know what's Zero. So funny? At that time, man, I really never even.
It wasn't even, it didn't
think
matter.
I didn't even think I was supposed to get anything.
Right. These matters. Right, right.
Yeah, it's like, you know.
You're just so important.
Like, hell like, this. Nah, like.
But you had already had a business. You had a bike business.
Yeah, I was hustling. I was hustling this shit.
But that's crazy, though. But that's what I mean. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's how naive I was.
Yeah, no,
right?
I didn't have
teeth in the game of understanding.
Or no concept of even how it worked at all.
You're clearly first generation.
First generation completely.
Yeah.
Right? Talent, straight up. Man, that's so crazy.
So do you put out an album?
No, we only put out a single.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you write the single?
No.
Okay.
No. I didn't write the single. And what I realized also, now at the time, I found this, and I'm not trying to get so in depth about what happened then. I want the viewers to understand the purpose of my experience.
Yeah.
We can always get deeper.
Yeah.
That'll be in the book
that I'm doing. Book. Gotcha.
But I want to explain more so from the experience that I had as a youngster and what I learned and what my experience, how much from my experience it taught me to get ready for what the pen became, right?
Yeah.
At the time, I used to get so frustrated because I felt like I could not write better songs than I was hearing on the radio. And that became something that was so important to me. I felt like I wanted to write songs that were just as good as the songs that I was hearing on the radio. I became completely enthralled in that idea of why does my songs don't sound as good as these other songs. It wasn't even important. It wasn't really even important to me being an artist. Being an artist was important to me, but the song was so much more important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like if I understood how to write songs as good as the songs on the radio,
mm-hmm.
I definitely knew how to perform them.
Right.
Because I can write them. And if I can write them, I can perform them, of course. But what was more important to me is I didn't know how. I kept getting really upset with myself because I felt like it wasn't sounding as good as the songs that I was hearing. So by the time I was 15 and 16, I got a bit frustrated and I was ready to come back to the States. Because our first single was a cover. And I didn't feel like, that was cool. That was cool. They loved my voice. I never liked my voice. People used to make fun of my voice. It was like, hey man, you like a football player or a boxer, but your voice sounds like you're Ralph Chesavant. And I used to
Ralph, by the way. Yeah. Ralph is
the
ultimate lead singer,
what?
By the way.
Yeah. Ralph what?
The ultimate.
So in my brains, I was like, oh, I'm dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Ralph Chesavant is dope. Oh, I'm dope.
Yes.
I'm definitely dope. Yeah. But I never used to tell people how I felt. It really used to F with me. It really used to bother me. And you know, this is really a funny, you know, we're supposed to be talking about some, like, the cool side of Sean Garrett.
No, we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're talking about the DNA.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of Sean Garrett.
I completely used to. That's why when some people say, like, you know, like some people say I'm cocky and shit, right? But to be very honest, man, I'm a very I'm a competitor. I'm definitely a competitor more so than I'm cocky. I'm just very sure of myself because I had to get better and better and better and better until I felt confident enough that I knew that I could run a 3.9 when most people was running a 4.5. Hmm. And a lot of times, I was told so many times that I could not run a 3. I couldn't even run a 4.5. They used to always tell me I couldn't run a 4.5. And so it just made me more and more determined to be able to show you not only can I run a 4.5, but I can run a 3.9. When I got to America, I knew that I was definitely different because I went through so many different transitions of like beating myself up, not feeling like I was good enough or not feeling like, and this wasn't about what other people had to say. It was just me personally.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I would be listening to other records and I know I loved music. I know I loved it. I loved it with a different type of passion. I loved it more than I loved baseball. And I could throw a fastball and maybe when I was 16 years old, I was throwing a 99 miles per hour fastball.
Golly.
I was knocking home runs. Like I was really good in baseball. My mom came to every one of my games. I was really fast. I could do a lot of things, but what was more important to me is like music. I just love music. I loved it in a different type of way. And And so I also realized that, like, damn, how do you imagine this, right? Imagine having this gift at something and everybody telling you don't look like you sound.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy to me.
Yeah.
Right. So I was always kind of worried about that. And then I just never really got, it just all never seemed to match up. You know what I'm saying? It was like I was talented, but it just never seemed to match up in my mind. In my mind, I didn't look like this person. I wasn't slim. I was muscular. I wasn't, you know, all of the things that everybody said you were supposed to look like, I didn't look like. You know, I felt like I was handsome, but I was like, I just didn't look like I sound. I just didn't look like my music sound, right? But then maybe when I was like 18, it just took a turn. I just didn't give a fuck no more. It really just made me feel like, you know what? I'm me. I'm fucking me. And right. I was excited about being me. I don't know what happened, but it's
I was about to say, what was that?
Man, you know, you get to a point where people tell you you can't do this and you can't do that. And you just get frustrated to the point where you just like, fuck y'all.
Yeah.
You know, just fuck y'all.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey. And people don't know. People don't understand. The breaking point, but people don't understand the lasting effects of having to hear that so much and then finally getting to that point to where when you finally say, fuck y'all, that's something you stand on shit for a long fucking time. And people don't understand why there's that. Yeah. They don't understand what you went through.
Yeah. And as a kid, man. And, you know, imagine being a talented child from like 5. You know what I'm saying? And you've been hearing this shit till you're like 18.
Yeah.
By the time I came back to America, I was on one.
Yeah.
I was definitely on one. I was like, you know, and if anything felt like it was some negative shit, I was just like, in my mind, I was like, fuck you.
Right. You was running over it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. I know I don't. I know I ain't this. I know I ain't that. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm this, though.
But I'm this.
Right.
And that's where all my angst came from. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why I can relate to this generation, because I feel like I really probably was one of the, I was probably one of the ones that started this crazy mindset of these artists, I probably would say. Because I never felt like I looked as good as Usher. I never felt like I looked, you know, I never wanted to be Chris Brown. I never wanted to be Usher. I never even wanted, I was the guy next door. I'm the guy next door. I'm like, I'm the guy, I'll take your girl for sure. I'll definitely fuck your girl. Not because I want to,
I'll definitely fuck
because
your girl.
I can. You know what I'm saying? Because you know what? My conversation is definitely deeper than yours. You know what I'm saying? My work ethic is definitely better than yours. You know what I'm saying? My heart is definitely pure. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not just talking about girl talk. You know what I'm saying? I'm just talking about just like some regular dude shit. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm the guy next door. I ain't got all that other shit, but I definitely got heart. I definitely got a work ethic. I definitely got passion. I definitely give a fuck about everything that represents what we stand for. And I'm going to get money somehow, some way. You know what I'm saying? So I don't really think, you know.
Okay. So you back in the States.
I can compete.
So let's compete.
So
you back in the States.
Yeah, so I come back to the States.
You own one.
Yeah.
And so you go back to Atlanta.
Go back to Atlanta.
It's time to get to
it. Shit is, you know. You get back to the States.
Atlanta cracking.
Shit cracking. Yeah. You know, and it's guys super amazing creatives like Pooh Bear.
Yeah.
You know, shout out to Pooh Bear.
Yeah.
And I love this part of it because a lot of these guys, you know, at the time, you know, I don't know if they know if I liked them or if they liked me or they gave a fuck or that. I didn't give a fuck. But I just knew I respected them. You know, Jonte Austin, one of the fucking coldest. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I can definitely say that now. Like, Pooh Bear is like a genius, straight up. Jonte Austin, straight genius. And this is all at the time, you know, me coming to the States, you know what I'm saying? Brian Michael Cox, JD, man. Then I meet Chris Hicks, man. And, oh man, he just said some shit. And shout out to Chris Hicks, man. Yeah, Chris Hicks know how much I love him, you know, but oh my God, man. Yo, I've never probably felt nobody ever broke me down like he did. Like he just said, I remember I played him, yeah, the demo, yeah, man. He just fucked me up. It was like, that ain't it.
That was exactly what he said.
Because these guys was at the top of the game.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like they was... But you got to understand, my relationship with Chris is like the biggest, he's the one executive that pushed me to the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not a slight. Like Chris Hicks is like, first of all, at the time, he was co-CEO of Noontime.
Absolutely.
Which is one of the most,
legendary,
independent labels in the music business, and they spawned so many, you know.
Yeah, amazing, we talk about Noontime all the time.
Yeah. And then he was at the time. He also was president, I think, of Warner Chappell at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Publishing. He was a great publisher too. So you know, man, I'm just a kid, man, trying to impress these guys, man, and I don't have no clue or understanding of like what the bar is with them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I just knew I just didn't fit. I just didn't fit, man. I didn't fit. I didn't like the kind of shit that they did. Not that I didn't like it, meaning I just couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know how to create. I wasn't the kind of songwriter that could write songs with chords and shit. I just didn't feel like I was good enough to do that. And so I used to beat myself up internally. And, you know, records like Yeah and Goodies and Check Up On It, like those were songs that, or fucking Ring the Alarm or shit like that. Like that's the shit I understood how to do because I wasn't really attracted to like chord progression type of songs.
Yeah.
Well, you ushered in, for lack of a better term, you ushered in a different sound. Literally. Like I remember Billy Calloway and Shakir Stewart, who are really good friends of mine, close friends of mine.
God rest his soul, man.
Telling me about you. I'd never forget it. They were like, he the one. Flat out, like, and it's so crazy to hear you say it from a point of almost people not believing or people not seeing it, and you not knowing that people were celebrating you before you had the hits. You didn't have no hits at this point, mm-hmm. Not when I heard about you, but it was like, nigga, this nigga Sean Garrett, this, you know how Shaq used to talk, Sean Garrett got it. In 24, BC 24.
BC 24, I'm talking, man, about,
shout out
Billy Calloway,
they were,
man,
your hype men, though.
Man.
No bullshit that you did not know about.
Yeah, and you know what? That's what's really beautiful about this, because I really didn't know, man. I really, bro, I didn't. I was just trying to survive.
Yeah.
I was really just trying. I was very passionate, though. I think my passion sometimes made people feel like, I don't know what it made people feel like. I was just being myself. All I could do is just go with my passion. And I just didn't know. I think the worst thing, I was just fighting for my life, to be very honest. I just wanted to be great. And I knew I didn't fit into this box of like doing things that other people do. Anytime I heard anything that someone else was doing, I completely wanted to do something different. But I also admired the greatness too. Like, right. I really was a very Maybe I didn't say much to these guys, but I really admired them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I felt like I was at high school. I felt like I was in like ninth grade and these guys were seniors and shit. And they were fucking amazing. Yeah. And I was just like, fuck. Like, I remember, I'll never forget hearing, man, I'll never forget hearing Superstar. Man, I heard Superstar and I heard Caught Up. And I was like, what in the fuck am I going to do?
Ryan told me.
Man. I was fucking, I was like, man, this motherfucker is so incredible.
Yeah.
I just, you know what I mean? Y'all know what I mean? It's like, when you hear them certain songs, I was like, oh my God. So at the so I just was like, man, you know what?
But then it makes sense where you're saying, you hear it, you appreciate it, but you're just somewhere else.
Yeah.
You're going to go somewhere else. I don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't even do that. Yeah. I don't know how to fucking do that. Like, I know how to do it, of course, right? But we're talking about being on the track, you know, Sha'Carri Richardson, like her speed, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you talking about running. You know what I mean? These people are fucking going crazy.
Yeah. Like, they're world-class athletes.
Yeah, they're complete world-class. And I'm like, bro, oh my God. I was just like, what am I going to do? Then I get this call from L.A. Reid. So I end up doing my, publishing deal at Hitco.
Mm-hmm. L.A. Reid's publishing company.
Yes. Shout out to Billy Calloway, man. Billy Calloway, man, is a fucking amazing. I don't know why he's not in the music business no more. I know he do like amazing things with houses and shit like that, but he is really great. And I gotta give him his props today. He was the one that really signed me with Shakir and L.A. Reid at Hitco. And I love Billy because Billy was very passionate and he was very smart. And he understands great. He really did. He really does. And he had this bowling league that he had this entertainment bowling league that he created. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about everybody of the who's a who would be at that bowling league every Wednesday. It was packed like 300. Anybody that from Atlanta know about 300 Bowling Alley, up 400 used to be packed. I'm talking about, this was a zoo. It was a zoo every Wednesday, man.
I remember.
And I used to just go there. And I mean, I had like five offers on the table from different Universal, Sony. Different people wanted to sign me as a songwriter. I never even wanted to write songs for other people. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to write songs for myself. I was mad that I couldn't write songs. I was like, damn, I haven't gotten to the point where I can write songs for myself to the point that are great songs. I definitely wasn't trying to write songs for other people, but that's how much of trying to push yourself to another level and then to have other people to celebrate you or appreciate your talent comes into play, right? And so it was all God, man. But I ended up doing my deal with Hitco because Billy was just, he's just making me laugh. And I will say to people that, you know, personalities matter.
Yeah, for sure.
For executives in the game today, it's important to be a good person to people.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going, because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was only a couple of people that really thought, yeah, it was dope. Everybody else was like, and it's funny to watch people now to say, oh, we knew it was great. We knew it was, I was like, I remember your face. Like, I remember you.
I remember your face.
I was a kid. You know, kids don't forget shit.
Man, at all.
I was a kid.
How old were you?
19, 20. I was like, I did not.
So what made you write those verses like that?
Yeah, because you jumped in the comments, man. You know what I mean? We're not going to brush over this.
Write those verses?
Well, if you listen to any of my songs, that's my true essence.
Got it. But
yes.
But what is that from? That's not a normal R&B
cadence.
Well, I don't do R&B. Y'all know that. What I just said.
I got it now.
I do R&B, but I do my version of R&B.
Exactly. So okay. I'm trying to figure out the mixture.
Well, first of all, I'm the biggest Michael Jackson fan in life.
Hmm.
Like, that's a Michael Jackson song. My idea was, hey, I heard Superstar. I heard Caught Up. Caught Up. Now, this is how crazy my mind is.
Mm-hmm.
Caught Up to me was... can you feel it?
Yes.
Can you feel it?
I'm with you.
Can you feel it?
Boom. I'm with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
In my brains, I was like, I can beat that. That's the Jacksons.
And that's the competition that you've been chasing this whole time.
That's the Jacksons. That's not Thriller. If I can give
him
Billie Jean, Beat It, and Thriller, in one song, I could kill this whole spot. And that was my mindset. I said, I'm going to go get one of them Lil Jon beats. I don't give a fuck what Lil Jon beat it is. I'm just going to go create a fucking Michael Jackson song on a
Lil Jon beat.
What made you think Lil Jon?
Because Lil Jon was on fire.
Fire at that time.
And his emotion in
killing
everything. To the windows, from the windows to the walls.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The power in the club was so ferocious.
No, I went horse one night. I went horse one night.
No, it was ferocious.
No, I went horse one night yelling at, to the window.
Bro, I was bowling. I was bowling when we would be bowling. And came from the perspective of what Little John's energy does is not, it's just unbelievable.
It's not normal. Yeah, yeah,
it's not normal. Yeah,
it's unmatched.
And me and Little John are more compatible in our essence than not.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lil Jon is kind of like an outcast too.
Yeah.
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 You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've all seen the high school photo.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So when y'all leaked the record.
Oh yeah. He said we see y'all.
Yeah. So when y'all.
Well, I say Lil Jon. I'm gonna keep it a buck. Like John had all the relationships with the DJs. And to be very honest, you know, shout out to L.A. Reid and all the people at Arista, man. But I'm going to keep it a buck, man. This was all God. Like, for people to say that they knew is craziness. Now, Shakir Stewart, he knew.
Hmm.
He knew. He was fighting for it. I forget what I was saying. It's one other person at that label that was fighting for it. But everybody else, I don't think they understood what it was.
How could you, though?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like, because
it's just no right or wrong.
Yeah, it's like hitting the lottery. Yeah, it's not normal.
No.
By any means. And
it made sense to me because it was, you know, the essence of Usher's performance.
Yeah, but you took Usher to a place he had never been before. That was somewhere else. Like nobody has that in their catalog for the most part.
That record was a game changer.
It's a game changer.
And then, after you have the game changer, you write it again. You go from yeah to goodies.
I remember every club I was in when Goodies came out.
Oh my God. I had just met Sierra maybe a couple weeks before Goodies came out.
I met her at the song came on. She was in the club. She was with, I forgot her name. She was dancing with Sierra at the time. One of our homegirls.
Okay.
And she's like, oh, you got to meet Sierra. I'm like, Sierra, the song that just came on?
Yeah.
I'm like, do you know what's happening right now?
We actually did that. I did that in the same week, actually.
Just because
you know what's so funny? Shout out Delicia. Delicia at the time was Lil Jon's assistant. I couldn't get no beats from Lil Jon. I didn't know Lil Jon. And Lil Jon's people wouldn't give me any beats. Because they were like, so BC24, Billy Calloway reached out. I said, Billy, I want to do a Michael Jackson song over one of them crunk beats for Usher. He was like, let's do it. So he's like, what you want me to do? I said, hey man, can you call Lil Jon's people and see if I can get it, you know, get some of his beats? And they were like, Lil Jon don't do R&B beats.
Yeah, right.
Don't do that. Like, he do crunk beats. I was like, yeah.
The ones I want, right.
Yeah,
right,
that's
right.
What I want.
They wouldn't like, send them.
That's a no-go. So, man, it took about 2-3 weeks for me to, and I actually ran into Delicia, and I owe her everything.
Wow.
She is the key, the glue.
Shout out to Delicia.
Yeah. Shout out to Delicia. Yeah. Delicia, and she's just the sweetest thing.
So she got you a beat tape?
Man, she got me 10 beats. She got me a CD with 10 tracks on there. And out of those 10 tracks, one of those songs were Goodies. And one of those songs was Yeah. And you can go online right now to YouTube and pull up Sean Garrett's Yeah. And you can hear my original demo to Yeah. And when you hear that, it'll make sense to you. I actually was doing all the Lil Jon parts. Yeah, okay. And I remember getting in the studio with John, and John was like, I'm changing this shit. I'm changing this shit. I said, John, why the fuck you want to change it? Because I want to do some new ad-libs. I said, this shit is already perfect the way it is. He said, how the hell are you going to tell me how to do me better than me? But what's so crazy about like what we have to do, and y'all can relate to this,
paint that picture.
we have to paint the picture paint that picture. To these people.
Like, what's my man that used to draw the trees and shit with the afro?
Yeah.
And right here's a bush.
The white man.
Yeah. You gotta put bushes right here.
It's so crazy, Ting. Yeah. You were saying earlier, you know, people don't know what we have to go through. Like, that's where the angst come from.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And if there's not one thing I want to say on here today, like, sometimes, you know, people take our passion the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, do you know what it took
to get here?
To do all these songs?
They don't.
Have you looked at my discography?
They don't. I have. They haven't.
Nigga.
Like, do you really know what I had to go through?
Your discography is crazy.
I have to deal with different people every single day. Not just different creative people, different creative managers, executives, labels, attorneys.
Street niggas.
Street niggas. For real.
Nigga, this game is different. This shit,
like, they don't understand.
Nah.
So you get to a point where you be turned. Like when Kanye say, I'm turned. It's not I'm tripping. It's just, so, you know, I'm sorry. On Versus, y'all just caught me on one of my days. You caught me on one of my days.
That's very legendary. Versus.
To where, like, first of all, I had 2 root canals. I was on pain pills, right? And my brother's asking me to do something that I don't even know what the hell I'm doing. I'm holding my phone in my house on my time, and I see the IHOP.
Oh, shit.
It's on.
It's on.
It's on.
It's motherfucking on. You just catching me in my shit.
Motherfucking on.
Like, really, but I'm at my house, y'all. I didn't get paid to do that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I.
Because you did
like
one of the early ones.
You were early.
No. We set the shit off. Yeah. Let's just keep it a buck.
Yeah.
No, we went viral.
Yeah.
Y'all seen it?
Yeah.
I did.
Oh, we seen it.
I was in the comments cracking jokes.
But you know what's crazy to me, though? I was reading the comments, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, wow. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, I'm tripping. Sean tripping. Nah, y'all know Sean. Don't act new. Don't act brand new. You know I'm a warrior. I was a warrior for you, remember?
Remember.
When I did that monster for you, when I did that monster for you and you and you. Nah, I was just, what we doing? What we doing? Right? And it's so many, you know, as they say, what they like to say, what they call it? Well, I don't even know. What stay true to yourself, be real. Like, you know how complicated it is for us to be real, to be ourselves every day and come out and fight every day and give your best and be one of the best ever? It's very difficult, you know? And I think that if there's any show or any interview I've ever wanted to do, this is one I wanted to do, right? Because I feel like you guys y'all represent so much more than y'all realize y'all doing. I feel like this is what my career was about, what you guys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else is doing this. All of you guys doing podcasts and all that type shit, it's cool. But this that real shit right here, because this is the real essence of what we really do. It's easy for somebody who don't do this shit to get on and talk about shit that you don't do.
Preach.
But when you motherfucking really do this shit,
preach.
I don't want to hear nothing you got to say, because you ain't never walked in these. You ain't never walked in these cleats. You don't even understand how to. You don't even understand how to run. You can't run in these cleats. You never accomplished these goals. You never accomplished those goals. And I'm not being disrespectful to anyone. I'm just saying, it's always easy to speak on shit that you don't do.
Yeah, looking from the outside.
Yeah, but when you really do this shit.
When you in this shit, though,
yeah. Man.
When you in the burning fire.
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
You got motherfuckers shooting at you from all angles.
All angles.
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? The motherfucker I'm helping hates me. You got a motherfucker in the background.
Talk.
Hating on me.
Talk.
But talking to me, telling me, hey, push him as hard as you can. What?
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, man.
Get you a silky.
Come on, man. What you got over there, Chief?
What's happening?
What you got over there, man?
Yeah.
You know, Sean Gill don't really like chords, but you know, give him some chords.
I love chords. Hey, I just couldn't. I just wasn't raised up on them, but I definitely love them.
Yeah.
We've done plenty hits of them.
Yeah, plenty of them.
Mr. Sean Garrett. About to go to a place, man. This is gonna be a tough segment for you, man.
Okay.
Sure, because you know, man, if you've done too many of them, you know.
You've done too many of them yourself, man. So you know this. But people wanna know.
What they wanna know, Chief.
What's Sean Garrett's top five? Your top five.
Yeah.
Your top five.
Whatever.
R&B singers.
Whoa.
R&B songs.
Yeah.
Songs. You got to know.
Yeah.
You got to show.
Yeah.
You've written some. You've liked some. I want to hear. I want to know your top five.
So,
Sean Garrett,
that was amazing.
Top five R&B singers.
Now, tonight, tonight I'm going to be off the cuff. Y'all can't hold me to this. Y'all can't hold me to this.
All right,
I'm just going to go on emotions tonight.
Go. Okay, go.
Right? I'm not going to say this in any order.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to start shooting out ideas or vibes or whatever.
Five.
One, I'm going to say New Edition, Ooh. If It Isn't Love.
No.
He went to songs first.
Are you going to songs?
You know what? Sean Garrett,
you do whatever you
is a
do.
Songwriter.
We're starting with songs.
With songs.
Here we go.
New Wait, Edition,
top
if
five
it, no,
R&B
no,
songs.
No,
fuck
no,
it.
R&B songs first.
I mean, I'm just going off feeling.
Go to the songs.
Hey, because you just went crazy on the fucking.
No, but I asked you about the artist. I said artists
first. Artists. Okay. But,
songs first.
It don't matter.
I mean, I just felt, man, I just feeling
That's how you
crazy,
feel.
Bro.
New Edition, if it isn't love.
New Edition, if it isn't love. One of my favorite songs of all time.
Why do I feel this way?
You know what I'm saying?
Why does she stay on my mind?
Why does she stay on my mind?
Why does it hurt so bad?
Why does it hurt so bad?
Makes me feel
bad.
So sad inside.
We went R&B to the, you know what I mean?
That's
we
the
went,
core.
We went really R&B. So, I love you, Whitney. I will always love you.
Sheesh. And I.
Billie Jean, Michael.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because she's not my lover.
Just
Prince.
A girl.
When doves cry.
Ah.
If you heal the picture. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You engaged
in a kiss.
Bobby Brown's My Prerogative.
Ooh.
Come on, bring it home.
That's how I'm feeling right now. That's just an emotional vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Those are very aggressive songs.
Aggressive. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Bobby Brown. Okay.
Top five R&B artists.
Yeah. Go straight, go Michael.
Come on, Mike.
Talk
Mike
Whitney, Prince. Whitney. Michael Jackson. Prince.
Whitney.
Uh-huh. Beyonce.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Usher.
Hey.
Top it off.
I wish I had more room.
I wish I had more hands.
Yeah, I mean.
Listen. If you want to name a couple more, you can. It is your world.
I mean, if you want to go top five, like, I mean, just those are the biggest R&B artists in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
I can tell the shit.
Here we go. We're making R&B Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're going to make your super R&B artist.
Yeah.
All right.
The one you're going to get the
vocal from.
Yeah. Yeah.
The performance style, the styling, the passion of the artist, and who's going to write for that artist? Here we go. Who are you getting the vocal from? One vocal to make your super R&B artist.
Michael.
Okay. Very matter-of-factly. Like, fuck me. Okay. Performance style.
Who kills the stage?
That's Michael. Stage. Shit.
Michael.
Okay. Michael. The styling. The drip of the artist.
Kanye.
The heart of the artist. Who really mean it?
Quick.
Michael,
yay.
Yay.
Beyonce.
Nigga. This is who's writing for this artist?
Me.
I would have fought him. I would have domed on the couch and fought him. Goddamn right, you write the goddamn record.
Yes, sir.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. We want to hear it.
Hold on. We're not done. We're not done yet. Hold on.
We ain't done with you.
I'm starting it like this.
What you got? Is that Donkey Kong?
No, it's... I ain't saying no names.
Very important segment.
I don't know if I'm the best.
Hold on.
Listen.
Set him up.
We've been waiting for Sean Garrett the Penn to get here. I ain't saying no names. Story, funny or fucked up, or funny and fucked up. In the travels of Sean Garrett. I'm talking about from the ATL down to Germany,
back
to the ATL, around the world, global with these records, the shit you seen, the shit you experienced, funny or fucked up. The only rule to the game is you can't say no names. You can tell us one or two. It's up to you.
I like that.
I would probably say, man, I think the biggest things, the craziest things for me has been like, I've had so many opportunities to like engage in like, you know, relationships, opportunities to get with a girl that's in the business.
Okay.
And I always found my way of sliding out of it. I felt like I always looked at it, like, I think some people look at it like, hey, shit, I'm going to take this opportunity to go ahead and do what I got to do. Yeah. I always look at it like it could come back and haunt me. So I really didn't smash out as many times as I could have smashed out.
So you're saying you were offered high level quality tale.
He got to tell a story about some shit.
The gist of it.
Okay, I ain't gonna say no names, but it was definitely.
How did it happen? Come on, now we need details.
I was in certain sessions where there would be. Some really high profile friends that will pop through that was open for whatever. I just always found my way to slide out of the situation because I always feared that I would fuck up my career. Because
Mm. Y'all wanted more.
We want this actual story. You a songwriter, nigga. Tell us the story.
There was this one scenario.
Here we go. Okay.
Of this really, like, I would say, huge superstar.
Okay.
I don't know what, I want to say what she do.
Hmm. That's fine.
But I was completely off my pivot. I wasn't, like, I was aloof to the idea that she really was on me. It was this particular part about her that seemed a little bit masculine, that had nothing to do with her. It was just her body type. And I'm not going to say no names, but
she had big shoulders.
She has some big calves.
I love calves.
Nah, that's all I can tell you. I mean, Tank, I mean, what the fuck? Like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's real. Like, she was really like one of them ones. Like, I could have, yeah, if I'd have dialed in.
But you didn't like her calves.
The fucking calves was bigger than mine. Like, like, no fucking way. Like,
so she was a kickball champ.
I don't know. Nah, I don't know. Well, yeah, I guess in that, yeah, but she was, but she's everything. She's everything to everything.
Mm.
I feel like if I would have locked on in, I could have probably, could have been cool. I could have.
Could have helped her tone her calves down.
It was them calves, bro. Them motherfuckers is huge.
You trip.
I was tripping.
Ain't none like a nice quality calf.
Calves,
dog. I don't think he feels like they were quality.
No, nah, calves is a whole, is a vibe to a calf. And then there's a motherfucking extra calf. Like, you just like, if the calf bigger than mine.
Like rugby calf.
Yeah. Yo, but it was certain parts about it. I was like, yo, the thing was thanging. The thing was thanging.
What went with the calves?
Fucking calves turned me off, bro. Swear to God. And I'm telling you, it could have been a movie. Like, if, like on paper, yeah. Y'all have been like, Sean, you was tripping.
Mm-hmm. Can't get past the calves.
All right. Shit was thanging, but them fucking calves threw me all the way the fuck off. Them calves is, boy. I've been talking about them motherfuckers for 12 years.
He's about to have niggas staring at calves.
Nigga.
Man, and them calves Sean Garrett was talking about.
Bro.
Them Sean Garrett calves right
nah,
there.
Nah, bro. I got big legs, bro. And I'm fucking with it. Like, I'm cool, but I'm just thinking, like, nah, that ain't gonna work out.
She got the Eric Metcalfs, nigga. This.
Calves on calves on calves.
Calves on calves.
Nah, that was a one time.
Yeah.
That was a one time I fucked up. I fucked that up though. Like fuck the calves. I should have been like, I should have tapped on in.
She's somewhere with her legs at right now.
Nope.
Watching this.
She's the truth. If I told y'all who it was, y'all be like, nigga, everywhere. You crazy.
Yep, you fucked up.
Calves everywhere.
Yeah. No, it's calves on calves on calves.
Brother Sean Garrett, first of all, we want to say, man, we appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, bro.
Man, I love y'all.
Like,
man.
We appreciate you like 100%. You know what I'm saying? From as a peer and as a brother. Like,
and as fans of what you do, bro.
Like, we.
All of those things.
All of it. All of it.
Let me ask y'all something. When do you become a great among your brothers? You know what my goal was?
Mm-hmm.
My goal was to become a great amongst my brothers.
Well, you did it.
You've accomplished it.
What are you asking? What else you want to know?
You've accomplished it, bro.
Man.
You've done it. You have done it.
Everything else, like, listen, in terms of that, you've done it. Everything else is for you.
You know what's great about this moment is I love you guys, man, because you guys have a way of being yourselves, giving people a platform, protecting yourselves, protecting your brands, building a brand. But at the same time, man, being wonderful people.
Yeah.
Thank you, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to bring the coast. I will say this. Things are different on the coast. How people see shit on the East Coast versus how they see shit on the West Coast is different. And I got to tell y'all that. I got to say that. It really is different. You guys, man, are really special. Y'all translate globally in our community. You know what I'm saying? And Tank, you know, Jay, I don't get a chance to talk to you as much as I get a chance to talk to Tank.
Mm-hmm.
I don't talk to him much, as much as I want to. But I just want to tell y'all, man, you know, you guys have done an amazing job of letting the world know that you guys are standing up for something that's important to us.
Mm-hmm.
The shit is translating. Because people, you guys are making people think. They, you know, and like I said, it's not the first day or the second day. It might be the 10th episode that you might see. And you'd be like, damn, let me go back and look back
yeah.
and watch these. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the shit that's important.
Yeah.
It wasn't my first number one that people paid attention to me. It's like the 14th.
Shit.
What the fuck is that? Let me Google him. And it'd be that song that wasn't the biggest. It'd be one of them songs like, DJ, won't you play that song? You know what I'm saying? She looking at you.
Right on the home front. All she really needed to feel like needed to beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it.
You know what I mean? Or, Papa coming over to give me that raw favorite position is under my door.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
Them jam.
See, you already know.
You already
you
know.
You gotta stop. You relax. Man, thank you, brother.
For real, bro.
Thank y'all, man.
I'm expecting my record to bring me out of retirement.
Can you tell them about our song, though?
Oh, we got a fire record.
No, tell him. No. Take, stop playing.
No.
Like, take.
Nope.
Is our shit fucking fire?
It's fire. And you was on a cadence on there. I said, man, nigga, this cadence. What is this cadence? You said, that's just where it is, Tank. You got to be right there. You got to be. I said, fuck.
Bro,
Ruben cut the song. He cut it.
Yo, Ruben, were you fucking with it though?
Yeah. I said, I gotta nail this. Send it back to him, let him hear it. He's like, do all of that. Do that. I said, okay. No. All right, I'll call you back.
No, like, Tank, I play it for people. Like it's
you gotta play it tonight for Jay.
It's disrespectful.
You gotta play it tonight for Jay.
No. Yeah. It's just Jay.
See, I haven't heard it.
Like,
what? I haven't heard it.
He can hit it here tonight.
No. The type of shit. No. He let the toes out. Like, with the goddamn. Yeah. See, you can't wear those unless you are real confident. Like, I do this type of shit.
100%.
Yeah. No, he went crazy.
I didn't hear it.
No, I don't even know. I really don't know if Jay ready for this one. Nah, Jay.
He ready. Jay. Jay is.
You haven't heard. You're lying, bro. You haven't played.
I have not. I haven't played for him. I ain't played it for nobody. It's your record.
I need to hear it.
Yo,
ladies
dog.
And gentlemen, I am Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
This is the R&B Buddy Podcast. Yeah. Authority on all things R&B. First of all, the new music is coming. He's promised.
The album's on the way.
He's promised me.
The EP's on the way.
He's promised.
Yeah.
I've been asking him for a long time. And this is our brother.
Yes, it is. Love you, bro.
One of the ghosts of this shit.
Love you, bro.
Greatest of all time. Y'all make some noise.
Sean Garrett.
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media at Jay Valentine and at The Real Tank. For the extended episode, subscribe to youtube.com/RMB Money.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.